the glory, to your name we give all the praise. And if we're doing that, so his face shines on us. We're not begging God to let his face shine on us. Some people have no idea when they write songs. They write lyrics just because they rhyme or something. I'm not sure what it is. But it's got to be reality according to the word, amen? I'm going to quickly go through a scripture just while the kids are still here. And it comes out of Deuteronomy. And it's Deuteronomy chapter 33, 25, 26 and 27. Deuteronomy 33, 25, 26 and 27. I'm not sure whether Anthony can get it up quickly. But it goes like this. And I just back up a little bit. When the children of Israel left Egypt, the Bible tells us that their shoes did not wear out and their clothing did not wear out during their journey through the desert. Imagine wearing the same clothes for 40 years and the same shoes. They didn't wear out. God preserved them so perfectly because he wanted them clothed for the journey. The analogy in that for you and I is when he gives us his robe of righteousness, we're clothed for the journey. Is that good or what? And he preserves it. And in this passage in Deuteronomy, it says, your shoes shall be iron and brass. That doesn't sound like a very comfortable pair of shoes. But what he's saying there is they're going to be tough. And when you've got a tough walk, God provides for that walk, for you to be able to take the roughest terrain out. Is that banging around somewhere? Am I in a bad spot? You think about that. God said, your shoes shall be iron and brass. And he is making sure that whenever the going gets tough, he provides the toughness to keep us going. I love that. We're walking in his strength and in his power and in his provision. I love that. And as your days, so shall your strength be. I remember a preacher teaching on this one day, and he says, you know, we get older and we get more feeble, but God provides the strength. And I'm going, that doesn't mean that at all. As your day, so will your strength be. So if you've got a real easy day tomorrow, God's not going to come along and give you shoes of iron and brass that you don't need. He will provide for you as the day warrants his provision. As your day, you got a tough day, you're looking forward to tomorrow, if you've got all this pressure on your life and the things you've got to do at work, and there's so much hanging over you that you really sort of wish you could take another day off, or you can tomorrow, I'll let you have the day off tomorrow. You know, just having that sort of focus on work or pressures of life sometime really, really gets us down. But if you've got a tough day ahead of you, or you're in a tough day now unexpectedly, what does God say about it? As your day is, so will your strength be. Wow, the provision of his power. If I need the strength of God to get me through the day, he's got it ready, packaged up and waiting for me. I've got to be a recipient of that. I've got to believe that. I've got to receive that from God. You get a tough day at school, guys and girls. You get a tough day. Just say, God, it's a pretty tough day. I need your provision. And I thank you for it. That's all you got to do. See how good you cruise through that tough day. And if it's not a tough day, you don't need so much. And God will just give you what you need for the day. But as your day is, so shall your strength be. Next verse. There is no one like the God of Jeshurun, who rides on the heavens to help you, and his excellency is on the clouds. They're just talking about how great God is. He rides on the heavens. And the Bible sort of says he rides on the heavens because he's constantly got us in mind, looking out for us. And his excellency is always there on our behalf. The next one. And I love this. The eternal God is your refuge. What's a refuge? It's a place of safety. It could even be a hiding place. It could even be a place of solitude and relaxation, or it could be a place of recuperation. But God is our refuge. We need to trust Him for that. Whenever we're feeling like we can't take it anymore, just say, God, I need you to be my refuge today. And look at this one. Oh, He'll bear us up, the Bible says, lest we dash our foot against the stone. It was talking to Christ about that too. But you know something? Underneath, constantly lifting us, caring for us, are the everlasting arms. He treats us just like we treat our children. We constantly pick our kids up, or we embrace them, or we take care of them in such a way that they know we are there for them. We embrace them, we lift them, we console them if necessary. But God is our consoler. God is our refuge. God is our strength. And constantly through all that, the everlasting arms were in his embrace. He never leaves us nor forsakes us. I said that in the early part. You know, the God that created this universe is passionate about us. The Word of God is His promises to us. When He writes stuff like this, He does not write it just for something to put in a book. He puts it there for our benefit, for us to grow in the grace and the knowledge of God, knowing that His heart is so passionate for us. He reinforces that over and over and over and over again. He's an amazing God. He'll drive out all the enemies before you and will say, destroy. Well, if He sends His charges of angels out there and drives enemies out and drives everyone that's opposing us out of our life and out of our way, He doesn't just drive them out. He beats them at their own plan and game and nullifies what they're doing. I love that. All right, don't forget that. Tough day, tough God, tough provision. Easy day, great God is on our side regardless. I love that. All right, you're on your own, kids. You're going off with Lexi and Em, I think, today. Oh, I love that scripture. Man, well, there's not many scriptures I don't love. But looking at it from that perspective, what I want to challenge you with now is your believability or your believing capacities. I want you to rethink your believing. I'm not asking you to change your doctrines or your theologies or anything like that. Just believing. Now, you are a human being. You are not a human doing. I've said this in the past with others here, but you guys that have heard me before, forgive me, but everyone else that's new hasn't heard this. You don't have to do anything to be a human. You are a human being. All right? Now, if you look at the scriptures in everywhere that talks of what we be, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. You've got nothing else to do with it. You don't have to do anything to be a new creature except be in Christ. It's straight away like that. If you are a believer, be a believer to the nth degree. Don't have any doubt or misconceptions or misguidances regarding God and His Word. If you have any uncertainties, go to the author. Have a talk to him about it. See what he says. He knows the book better than I do. You know, I can help you to the extent of some of the knowledge and experience I've had, but I can tell you what, he is so far better versed in this book than I or anybody. And the author will always guide you. So being a believer, if there's anything we're not certain of, it's best to get it from the horse's mouth, so to speak, from the God who wrote it, and have it settled in your heart forever. When I see God's word settled like that, I'm like, wow, that Christ might dwell in your heart by faith. You know, faith is trusting Him. Faith is putting ourselves out there where He is all in all, and our total sufficiency Nothing else could shake that from us. When we have faith in God, it doesn't matter what happens, whether it's good, bad, or otherwise. And sometimes experiences are daunting. Sometimes experiences can shake us. Sometimes experiences can hurt. Sometimes they can be disastrous as far as we're concerned. But the eternal God is your refuge. Underneath are the everlasting arms. Your faith must never be shaken. Your belief system has to be proactive constantly. God, I'm believing. I don't understand the circumstance. I don't understand what's going on, but I'm trusting you. You're my God. You're my refuge. You're my strength. I can't fight this on my own. This is a tough day, Lord, so I need some tough shoes to get through this and walk through it. Just believe God. He also says, put me in remembrance of my word. Why would he say that? He says, you've forgotten it? Of course not. But he wants to know if you know it. And if you come to God and say, Lord, I don't know what to do, but your word has promised that you'd help me. You'd be my refuge. You'd be my strength. Your word has promised that you'd keep me. Your word has promised you'd sustain me. Your word has promised that I can run to you. If I ask, I'll receive. And I thank you for that. And I'm believing that. God sees that as your faith in him being proactive. It's like the woman who came and begged, or was talking to Jesus, and he said, you're a Samaritan woman. Why should I take the children's bread and give it to the dogs? That's a shocking thing to say in our modern day vernacular. You wouldn't talk to people like that. But he was using an illustration to see what she would, how she would respond and what her belief system was. How strong was her belief? And her belief was, but Master, even the dogs get to eat the crumbs from the Master's table. She didn't want it all. She said, anything will do. You got crumb from you is better than anything else. And he said, I've never found such great faith. Her faith was unshakable. She didn't dispute what he said. She didn't say, oh, you're a bad man calling me a dog. No, she didn't take it personally. She just said, yeah, but I'll take the crumbs. Even if you don't want to pour it all out, I'll have the crumbs. Well, she got more than she bargained for because she hit the heart of God, seeing that her faith was active and the belief system she had was so unshakable, nothing was going to deter her from getting to Jesus and getting through to him. How good's that? How good's that? I think we need to sometimes reassess our level of believing. A lot of people say, I believe in God. You know, and then when you talk to them about God, they have no idea who he is. They have no idea what his provisions for him is. They have no idea that he died for them the way that he did and provided for them. They don't know him. They just believe that there's a God somewhere. Or that they've heard the stories. Oh, yeah, I went to Sunday school as a kid, was what someone said to me recently. Yeah, you know, I haven't been to church for years, but I still believe in God. And I'm like, well, that's like having a tire for a car and you've got it in your garage and you haven't got a car. What's the point? It's not going to do anything for you. And they go, well, what do you mean? What do you mean? You know, we've got to be able to proactively. I believe so intensely in God, nothing can shake me. When people come up with crazy arguments or statements like that, I have to challenge them with what I know and understand in my God to make them think, to make them have a rethink on, oh, I believe in God. And the scripture is very clear there. What it says in, how come that's disappeared? Where are we? James 2:19 says this. This is our first page, I think. You believe that there is one God? Whoopee-doo. Oh, good for you. You know? Oh, and you do well, he says. He says, that's a good start, right? You say you believe there's one God. You do well, or that's a good start. But even the demons believe they believe there's one God. They not only believe, they are well aware of there's one God. And they know that that one God, with a swipe of his hand, could eliminate and obliterate them if they get in his way. Well, they are in his way, and he will take care of them, don't worry. But he won't do it because he's mad at them or anything like that. The Bible says, to this end, that unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be made known by the church manifold wisdom of God. Whoa. Whoa. Now those guys are running scared of God. They really are. So why do we have so much problems with their temptations or their lies or their deceits and the things that are going on? Because we have no idea that they are fully defeated, like one of those songs says. We've got the victory, and it's like Darren's brought out at communion. The victory's ours. We're not fighting for the victory. We've got it. We stand in it. We believe in it. I believe I'm a victor. Do I have no battles? No, I always have battles. But in the battle, I run to the King of Glory. I run to the one who's my refuge. I run to the one who is my shield, my buckler, my strong tower, my salvation, my hope, my foundation. And I stand because I'm so confident in what he promised me in his word that my belief system brings him into action. Boy, and if we're not vocally positive about what we believe in God and how God is going to work for us and in our lives, we've got a bit of a problem when we come to him. And some people say, oh God, please do this for me, or please get that off my back, or please take care. No, he gave us back the dominion that Satan stole when Adam surrendered it through Christ Jesus. The realm of dominion on that cross was under the "it is finished." It is finished. Not just the law, not just the sacrifices, not just the rituals of the old covenant and everything. It was everything that was lost in the Garden of Eden to mankind that the devil stole was returned back to us, and God gave us the capacity when he said, "You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you." Wow. Wow. No Holy Ghost, you're going to be struggling having the power. We need to be filled with the Spirit of God constantly. Be filled with the Spirit. Be filled. Be being filled is actually what the scripture says in that. Some think that because they believe in God, it gives them some sort of security. Or maybe it's just, oh, I believe in God. I'm a good boy. I've done nothing wrong. I had a cousin that was like that, and on his deathbed, I challenged him. And he said, no, I've always believed in the analogy of joy. Well, we've got the joy of the Lord. I said, what's your analogy, Colin? And he says, Jesus first, yourself last, and others in between. I said, man, that's everything except what your life has been. Because he lived fully for himself. He didn't care about anyone else. And he never lived for Jesus. I don't know where he got that from or whatever, but I don't know what excuse he was going to use when he passed on and met the King of Glory on the other side, or we'll have to face the judgment seat eventually on the other side. I've no idea. But the problem is it doesn't fit the criteria of salvation that the Bible talks about. We need to fully believe and understand what God wants for us. I'm never going to get through all this today, but I'm going to go as far as I can. I believe in God. And some people go no further than John 3:16. Oh yes, I believe in John 3:16. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. Have you ever dissected that verse? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And it doesn't say that is your salvation. It doesn't say that will automatically bring salvation. It says you shall be saved. You shall. Shall is usually something you know, shall we go somewhere and we plan a journey? You shall be saved. And the word shall actually means it opens the door for you to take the step in. Belief is your first criteria. Without any believing, and I mean godly believing, not just, well, yeah, I believe in God and it's all blasé. It's a real depth of belief that doesn't shake you. You have been convicted by the power of the Holy Spirit after hearing the word of God, or someone has witnessed to you and you say, wow, man, I believe that. You're so right. I can't dispute it. Jesus did die for my sin. Now that's believing. But if he doesn't take any further steps, just believing is only part A of the equation. Believing. And some people never get past that. Some people, that's their favorite verse because that's the only one they've ever remembered. And it's tragic because they stay there. They sit in this little cocoon of, yes, I believe in Jesus. It's like a girlfriend of Lexi's. She went to a funeral in Adelaide last year. She says, yes, I believe God loves me, but didn't live for him or acknowledge him in any way, shape or form. She'd grown up in church, but had gone everywhere but. And it's just tragic to think that a belief system can be just skimming the surface and not taking a person to where they need to be in a relationship with the Lord Jesus. Believing is to be constant, fully immersed as a believer in what you believe in. Not just, you know, look, I believe there's a moon out there somewhere. Oh, have you ever seen it? No, I never look up in the sky, but I've read books about it. Well, I like to look at it. Oh, yeah, there is one up there. Yeah, you can't convince me there's no moon. And I got the telescope out this morning, and I had the kids, the three grandkids, looking through the scope. We had the moon in full focus. You could see the craters, and you could see all the definition and all. Man, and they're like, wow, look at all of that, look at this. And it just gave them a new perspective of something. Well, that's like me saying, yeah, I believe there's a moon out there because I saw it. But when they start to look at it in a refined detail, wow, that moon is no longer this big. It's huge because they can actually see it in the lens of through a telescope with all the magnifying and so forth and see the definition of it. And that's like the word of God. Oh, yeah, I believe Jesus loves me. I tell you what, have you looked at him through the telescope of the Holy Spirit? Have you looked at him through the telescope of the word? Woo-wee! You start to see the definitions that he places on who he is and how much he's got for us. It's amazing. Absolutely amazing. So let's look at going beyond believing. Let's have a look at the scripture here. I think this is Ephesians. I can't remember. Verse 6, whatever chapter it is. But the righteousness of faith speaks in this way. Now, prior to that, they were talking of Moses under the law, brought it all about, and people had to comply and follow the writings and the commands and the traditions of the law to comply to what the law would benefit them or how the law would benefit them. And the law was one of those things that if you missed in one area, you were, you know, you had to go and do all sorts of things. You had to go and get a few pigeons and turtle doves, all sorts of things, and have other sacrifices done just to get yourself back on track. But the Bible says this, the righteousness of faith speaks in this way. In other words, it's different from what Moses had. Do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down. In other words, we need a physical manifestation. We need something we can believe in. We need to have a bit of tangible evidence. Or who will go into the abyss or into hell? That is to bring Christ up from the dead. Who can do that just so that we can believe or can we can be sure? No, the righteousness of faith speaks completely differently. What does it really say? The word of faith is nigh you or near you, in your mouth and in your heart. You don't need the eye knowledge or the sense knowledge or the natural proof by physical means. The word of faith it talks about is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith that said Paul said, that's what we preach. And have a look at this next verse. The word of faith, that if you will confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart. Notice the two steps here. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. You shall be saved. But then the salvation comes when we confess with our mouth and believe with our heart fully. That's a surrendered life. That's not just a blasé, well, yeah, I believe. We need to confess with our mouth that Jesus Christ, if we say Jesus is my Lord and I believe with my heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be. Not going to be, not have been, it's you will be saved. And the word saved there is the Greek word soteria, that covers not just salvation of our souls or our salvation from our sins. It covers all of the provision of God. The soteria life is a life of salvation of God's promises. He's my refuge, my strength. Whew. He's my God. In him will I trust. My shoes shall be iron and brass when I need them to be. As my day is, so shall my strength be. The eternal God is my refuge, and underneath. I don't know how many times I've had to fall into those everlasting arms, but they have never failed. They're always constant. And I believe fully that they're there on my behalf because my God has promised it. That's the belief level we need to be sure of in our lives. We need to believe beyond anything else that we grow up with as kids in Sunday school. I'll just digress for a moment, but we came across a systematic theology Bible study for kids just recently. That sounds a bit deep and heavy, but it's not. What they do is the people that put it together, their children grew up in church. They went to Sunday school. They did all the church things. They went to the youth group. They ended up in university. Yeah, not Uniturkity, university. But they got challenged on what they believe. Why do you believe that there was a Noah's Ark? Why? How can you believe that? Why do you believe there was a big worldwide? How come you believe all that? That's just... And they had no answers, regardless of the fact that they'd been brought up knowing all the Bible stories. Yeah, their belief level was in God at one point stage there. So they wrote this systematic theology study for children so that if they ever got challenged on their believing, their believing was then based on the reality of Scripture and the reality of evidence that proved the point. And it just challenged these people to put it together. Well, we got it coming, Jen. Get ready. And it's on the way. And we will have that. I want the kids here and every one of us to even know why we believe what we believe. We need to be able to answer. The Bible tells us that we can answer those that challenge us. And I couldn't when I was a kid. I went to school and did all that stuff and I could quote scriptures and do things and I could do things systematically. But if I got an answer that wasn't in my little theory book, oh, I don't know. You know? It's like the other day, or not the other day, a while back, I had a Jehovah's Witness at the front door. Knocked on the door and I said, oh, come on in. And they went, but we're Jehovah's Witnesses. I know that. Come on in. I want to sit you down and have a talk to you. Well, I did it for two reasons. Number one, I wanted to challenge them, and number two, I wanted to stop them knocking on my neighbor's doors. So I tied them up for the whole afternoon. But I asked them a few questions, and about I had a copy of their Bible, the New World Translation, which has so many differences in it. And I checked out a couple of things, and I said, now, even from your New World Translation, look at this scripture and look at this scripture. They contradict each other. One says one thing, one says another. And they went, oh, that's not in there. I went, is this a copy of your Bible? Is this a New World Translation? Oh, we want to make sure it's right. So they pulled theirs open and went, oh, it's the same in ours. They thought I'd fudged one up or something, you know, done a counterfeit. And I said, well, tell me, why is it so contradictory? Oh, it's one of those difficult passages that we have to go and ask the senior elders about. I said, well, can you do that for me and come back? Yeah, we will, definitely. I'm still waiting. No, I haven't come back. That's funny. I had a couple of Mormons knock on the door. And I said, you Americans, you got a dollar note in your pocket? Yeah, sure, pull out the American dollar. I said, look at the pyramid with the all-seeing eye on the top. Symbol of Satanism. Did you know that? Oh, no. That just means that there's, you know, America's got their eye out for everybody. I said, no, it doesn't mean that at all. Check it out. Go and do your searching. And then I said, by the way, have you ever done this? And they went, I said, what about this one? Oh, and they got a bit more frightened. I said, what about this one? Oh, we can't talk about that. I said, why can't you talk about that? Have you ever done it? Well, they're very sacred to us, those motions and movements. I said, you know, Joseph Smith stole them off the Freemasons, and the Freemasons then banned him from going to becoming a Freemason anymore, because they're the first three oaths of the Freemasonry movement when you join. May my throat be slit from ear to ear if I divulge the secrets of the lodge. May my heart be plucked from my chest and thrown from me if I turn against the order of the Freemasonry. And if I violate the hierarchy of the Freemasonry, may I be slit asunder across my bowels, that they may fall out and my life be lost. And then they go right up to their 33rd level, where they turn around and they say, I renounce anything and everything else in this life, and I confess and believe that Lucifer is God. That's when you get to a 33rd level Freemason. And these Mormons didn't realize that their first three vows were actually, may I, my throat be slit from ear to ear if I divulge the secrets of the Church of Jesus Christ, of the Latter-day Saints, to unworthy persons. They've actually put the vows in their own church system with crazy, crazy, crazy stuff like that. I challenge them. We've got to be able to talk to people about the Word of God and what God requires. You can't take an oath like that. When Christ came to die for us and gave his life so that we could live for him. It's got nothing to do with me, for by grace I'm saved through faith, not of my own works or my own vows or my own volitions or my own goodness or my own anything, but through grace and through faith I'm saved. And the salvation that Christ came and promised here is because it's believing. It's believing. It's believing. The word is, well, it says nigh you, even in your mouth and in your heart. This is the promise of God and the Holy Spirit bringing back to our remembrance whatsoever things we learn. And this is why it's important to teach and train our children, that the word that we teach and preach is so strong and embodied and impressed into us that we cannot but believe in it. if we confess with our mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and we believe in our heart, our salvation is secure. For with the heart, the man believes unto righteousness and right standing with God. But with the mouth, confession is made unto soteria. Not just being born again. Soteria, protection, deliverance from harm, deliverance from danger, deliverance from satanic oppression, deliverance from sickness and disease. Everything is covered in that word soteria. And if you're feeling down and things aren't going your way, you, what do? What do you turn around and say, Satan, don't you dare get in my way. I'm founded on the rock of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I've put you under my feet, and I will trample you, because the Bible tells me he's put all things under his feet. Get ready for a crushing, you crazy man, or you crazy demon, because I'm not going to listen to your lies. I'm not going to stand for your attack on my body. I'm not standing for sickness and disease in the name of Jesus. My body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, and he's the one I serve, and my body is to glorify him, not to be messed up by you. Now get your hand off me in the name of Jesus. I've had headaches go, stomachs go, stomach pains go, and other issues in my body disappear in seconds, because I will not change my profession. And we'll do that another time. Okay, Father, thank you so much for what we've had of your word today. We believe that what you've provided for us is what you want us to learn and stand on firmly and securely, so that our lives would reflect who you have made us to be in Christ Jesus as believers and receivers of your full salvation. And we stand today and say, you are our Lord. We believe with our heart, but we confess with our mouth that Jesus Christ died for us. He rose from the dead. He became the propitiation for our sins. He took it all. He erased all of the things that were written against us, set us free, and made us to stand on a rock that shall never be shaken. And Father, I pray that would be our profession of faith, that none of us will ever be shaken because of the God that we serve. And we thank you for the everlasting arms, for the refuge that you are, and for the fact that you're on our side. Amen. Whew, wow. I got the baseline. About 15. But God is so good. God is amazing. You wait and you start to see some of the rest of the stuff that God challenged me to share on our belief system being so there that nothing can shake it. And I'm trusting that this really does help you all. The last couple of weeks I talked about knowing God. If you weren't here, it's on our website, www.faithworkcc.com.au/sermons. And every message is kept for a little while so that it can be re-listened to or reheard or sent to anyone else that you want to, you think, hey, will be benefited from that or can hear it. So trusting that your life is a life that's blessed abundantly, and that your word of faith will be a word of faith that sustains you and gives God every opportunity to be the refuge and strength in your life. Bless you all. Amen. Oh, by the way, one other thing. There's some pears out there on the sideboard, some brown ones and some green ones. And that's about 1% of our tree. Not even that. 0.1% of our tree at the moment. They are loaded. So we've put some out there. They're juicy, they're wonderful, they're cookable, they're everything. So please help yourself. Bless you all.